Welcome to the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers podcast. I'm Paula Keoki, founder and CEO of Outward Media. Outward Media is a trusted data partner to Fortune 2000 businesses and startups alike. We provide the highest quality audience data to fuel engaged, integrated, omnichannel campaigns. Our mission is to deliver real data, real results, and invaluable reach to real people. Hi, welcome everyone. This is the B2B Influence Spotlight on Industry Game Changers. I'm your host, Paula Keoki. Today, we have a very interesting guest. His name is Mark Fernandez. He is the Chief Strategy and Operations Officer at Neurologica. Now, I know everybody's talking about AI, but I believe that Neurologica has got a definite spin on this that I think is going to be very interesting for our audience today. Welcome, Mark.
Paula, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great. So Neurologica is attempting and is reshaping the B2B marketing by adding a new dimension to audience insight, content performance, and customer engagement. So let's dive in, Mark. As you work to integrate emotion AI into marketing strategies, where do you see it having the biggest near-term impact, content targeting or campaign optimization or both?
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of background first as to how we got to where we are, because I think that'll help with the framing of that really great question.
Okay.
So as a company, we started a decade ago in Spain as a neuromarketing company, thus the name. And we started running small focus groups in this very complex lab that had really sophisticated equipment, such as EEGs and eye tracking. And we were using this to better understand how emotion and people's ability to understand content was shaping how brands were reaching out and connecting with audiences. And over time, we turned that expertise into our own AI models. And now these AI models, this AI platform, can interpret human emotion at scale. So now we don't need labs anymore. We don't need sophisticated equipment. We can just use a mobile phone camera or a camera on a laptop and get very detailed and accurate information about how someone is emotionally and cognitively responding to content. So today we work with brands and So today we work with brands and agencies to help them better understand not just what people feel, but how these emotions are shaping attention, decision-making, and engagement. All very important things. And so to do that, we basically use a simple mobile phone camera, desktop camera, and we look at the micro expressions that happen in someone's face as they're experiencing content. We also look at things like the eye, the body position, the tone of voice, if they're speaking. And all of that goes into us being able to deliver very accurate insights into how that person is experiencing the content. And so we look at three things. The first is attention. Okay. So it's not just about if somebody's looking at something, which is what a lot of current systems do. We actually measure whether they're truly engaged. And we do that by measuring cognition. So we have a way of understanding if somebody actually understood the message. And this came from years of working in the education space, where we wanted to understand, were people actually understanding what was being taught to them? Mm-hmm. It turned out that many people weren't understanding it, but were afraid to speak up. Wow. And this happens a lot with focus groups and anything that's form-based. Ask somebody for their feedback and they tell you what they think you want to hear, or they're too scared to tell you that they didn't like something. And so we
which isn't the purpose, because you're wanting the truth.
Yes. So we eliminate that whole layer. There's no sort of actual need for someone to respond. We're actually picking up all the cues in real time without that sort of level of bias. So yeah, back to your question, where is emotion AI making its biggest impact? I think it's in content performance right now. So right now, marketers can track clicks and impressions, but those don't really tell you why people are engaging with your content or whether they're truly understanding what it is that you wanted them to understand. There was a CPG brand that we were working with that was testing a few ad concepts for a national campaign, and they were using their usual A/B tests for the content, and they weren't really seeing a clear winner. And they started working with us. And we found that one of the ads triggered something that we call positive anticipatory emotion. And that just means that it's an insight we can measure that tells whether it's this positive feeling that you get when you're actually looking forward to something. And so if an ad can instill that feeling of I'm looking forward to learning more, you know that it's gonna resonate with the audience. And that version that we picked ended up outperforming the others by almost 40% in things
Wow.
like lift and recall,
That's huge.
because it really hit at this emotional level, not just the visual level.
And
And for us, that's
A/B test did not show that at all. And
no,
you didn't.
it showed identical
The
responses.
40% is huge.
Yeah, it's very big. And we see numbers like that often once we bring emotion into the situation. And for us, that's really the key shift is moving from simply tracking engagement to measuring like real attention, not just where your eyes are looking.
Because the engagement can also be negative.
Yes, that's true.
You're
Oh, and
not going to get data, do you?
that's the funny thing about emotion is, somebody can be crying and they can be full of joy or they can be extremely sad. And so it's not just measuring whether someone has a smile on their face. It's what does that smile mean? Where is it coming from? And what's the context around it?
I would imagine that your client was very impressed and they're still with you today.
Yes,
Yes.
they are.
Okay. So, next question. How are you approaching audience segmentation today in the context of emotion AI? Are there new layers of insight or emotional profiles emerging that could redefine how we build personas or do messaging across the funnel?
Yeah, traditional segmentation really focuses on basic factors like your job title or something like that. But again, this is on this emotional and cognitive layer. And we really want to understand why people are connecting with a message, not just who they are. And we call what we do human context AI, which basically is bringing like the human context into artificial intelligence. And so we can measure how people emotionally respond to factors like tone, language, visual pacing, rhythm, all of those things that are part of content. So an example there is there is a really well-known global software company who is targeting people in IT. And there was the assumption that everybody in IT is the same. If you're an IT manager, you have the same needs, the same issues. But what we found is that there were two different emotional profiles in their target audience. One of them was looking much more at, they were interested in reliability, how reliable is the platform? And the other was really connecting with this aspirational messaging around transformation and change. And so we found that there was these two very distinct user groups within the same profile of IT managers. And that told our client that just looking at demographics isn't enough when you're targeting an audience like this. And we help them evolve their understanding based on our ability to deliver these real-time emotional signals. And they're still working with us today.
So when you're able to do that real time, Mark, I mean, do they do like a little bit of a testing, and then once they parse that out, then do you, the messaging branches based on the two different way these two different groups are responding?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in the process of developing the content, we can determine what the different user profiles are, what resonates with them. I think long term, the way things are going is that we'll be able to dynamically assess how someone is experiencing content and shift that content in real time to something that really speaks to them. And we're already doing projects like that in places like airports and stadiums where our technology is used to look at how people are responding to content, for example, as they're coming off a plane. And we can actually shift through ads in real time on the screens until we start seeing engagement and not just people looking at it, but actually looking at it and having it speak to them in some way.
So as you're
So,
walking through the airport, they can get gauge response.
yes. Yeah.
Wow. I would think that's moving the needle in terms of our ROI substantially for these clients that you're working with.
It is because it's just not something you could really measure before. You could measure whether someone was looking at an ad. And sure, if you're walking through an airport and there's something that's really bright and colorful and draws your attention, Your eyes may look in that direction, but it doesn't say anything about whether you understood the messaging or the content. And we found that a lot. We found that you had a plane full of people getting off the plane who were looking at content, but it turns out they didn't even speak the language that the ad was written in. And so obviously they're not picking up on the messaging. And so we figured
Interesting.
that out by the fact that there was a very low cognitive load as they were looking at the messaging. So there was just no understanding of it. It was purely visual. And so we cycled through content until we saw the cognitive load go up, which meant somebody was actually questioning the content and trying to understand what it was and then participating with it. And I think that's at the core of what we do.
That's phenomenal. So, what challenges do organizations face when trying to measure the ROI of emotion-driven marketing strategies, and how do you think they will evolve with AI maturity?
I think the challenge is, let's see, if it's really an attribution. So I think connecting emotional engagement to measurable results is, I think, the really tough thing. And we try to do that every day. But we found is that emotional signals such as true attentional focus and what we call positive resonance often show up really early in the creative process, and it's often missed. But being able to pick up on those can really predict the performance of a piece of content before traditional metrics can catch up to it. So, yeah, we're working with a fintech company, testing a series of video ads for them. And one version sparked really strong attention and cognitive clarity. And when you feel like you can understand something, it's a very positive emotion. Just like when you look at something and you don't understand it, it's a very negative emotion. And so, being able to understand whether someone is understanding the content you're showing them actually makes them feel better. And when somebody feels positive emotions, they associate those emotions with your brand or with your content.
I would
And
think
so,
more receptive.
yes. So we flagged this version for them really early in the process. And in the long run, it ended up outperforming the other ads that they had developed by quite a bit. A lot more leads, much better engagement metrics, and more importantly for them, a much higher recall rate. I think it was like 30, 40% higher than the other pieces of content. So I think as AI improves, we'll be able to track these emotional, cognitive, and attentional signals from first impression to final conversion so that it becomes really like a core part of performance measurement. Not just something that's inserted at some point, but it's like it's in the workflow from ideation all the way to delivery of the content.
So are you focusing more in the B2C arena or B2B or both? Or are they both embracing testicles?
They're both embracing it. We in Spain, we've definitely been delivering bespoke solutions to companies. So they would come and say, I have an airport, I have a perfume, I'm trying to understand how it's going to, how people will react to it in different countries. And these were all very one-off opportunities. What we're doing in the US now is taking that and turning it into a full platform so that anyone can go to the platform, upload content, and just ChatGPT, you can ask a question and say, how would this content resonate with 18 to 25-year-olds? Or does it seem like this would be difficult for someone to understand based on this video of somebody watching the content? And this is really interesting for companies like Netflix and YouTube and TikTok, et cetera. So, yeah, I think
And
we're moving.
how does it do that, Mark? If you're uploading it, I mean, are there real live people actually able to look at it that you can get that feedback, or how do they get that feedback?
Yeah, so sometimes brands will have video content of somebody watching their ads, for example. And we can actually analyze that and tell them how that was perceived across all these different metrics. Other companies are doing it at the use developing content creator tools with our technology. So as you're developing content, you can run it through our platform and get real-time feedback really early in the content creation process.
And that creates the direction of which way to go.
Yes.
Now,
And
is the,
then,
go ahead.
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to
No,
say,
I was
is
going to say, then there's an opportunity for somebody like a YouTube or a TikTok to pay people in real time to view content
Okay.
and get real-time feedback from a very broad
Okay.
audience group or demographic.
Like an
So
online focus group.
an online focus group,
Yeah.
yes.
Without
And
the bias of people saying what they think somebody wants to hear.
yes. So you can have somebody watch a movie trailer or an ad and with their consent, turn the camera on their laptop, take a few seconds of a reading as they're watching the content, and deliver a very sophisticated profile of emotional responses to what they just viewed.
Huge, huge.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Is the platform ready now, Mark?
We currently work with individual clients,
Okay.
but this fall we will have the platform available commercially so that
Q4.
it'll be a lot like a ChatGPT type profile
Okay.
where you can go in, upload content or create custom solutions.
Okay.
And yeah, we really want to democratize the technology and make it available to everybody from a content creator that's doing something for TikTok to a really large agency or CPG brand that has spent millions or is going to spend millions on content and wants to make sure that it lands.
So will that be like on a subscription basis or like a annual license or something? How would you offer it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think right now we're thinking about charging from an insight perspective.
Okay.
So if you're looking for specific insights on a piece of content, those insights are valuable to you. And so it'll be based on that as opposed to some type of license or something like that. So it's more of a pay-as-you-go
You
model.
do a one-off is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's probably a good way to do it because then they could test it out without an obligation and then
Yes.
up the usage from there.
Yeah, and obviously, if you're a huge platform that is processing a lot of content through our platform, that'll be a
Yeah.
different relationship.
Yes.
But we still want to make it available to a developer, a content creator, somebody who's just at the early stages of trying to understand engagement.
Wow, that's amazing. So, my last question for you today.
Sure.
Looking ahead, what's your bold prediction for how emotion AI will reshape B2B marketing in the next 2 to 3 years? What do you think you see on the horizon?
Yeah, I think from everything we talked about, B2B marketing specifically, but B2C as well, is going to become much more emotionally adaptive. Right now, most marketing tools and platforms respond to predefined segments such as age and sex, et cetera. And we really want to shift that so that they're responding more to emotional and cognitive states of the people instead. So imagine a platform that can sense if a buyer is confused in real time, or distracted, or fully engaged. And like we were talking about in the airport, adjust not just the content, but things like tone and pacing in real time to guide their experience and response. And I think that's where we're headed.
It's a different world. Happened
Yeah.
fast, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think, yeah, it's just about using AI to help brands adjust in real time, making the conversation feel more natural and responsive, which is, I think, what everyone.
And relevant.
Yeah.
That is the
And
complaint a lot of the time is I get all this stuff that it's not relevant.
yeah. And it's not about, we get concerns all the time about, are you trying to manipulate someone's emotions because you can read them? And for us, it's, we always tell the brands that it's about understanding someone to help guide them along the process, not to insert emotion to try to elicit some type of response that, like, the pulling on someone's heartstrings thing. Because in the end, that's, people understand if they're being manipulated.
Of
Maybe not at
course.
first. You start getting the sense of it and it just doesn't feel right. And
Yeah.
so we really want this to be more of something that brands use as a way to guide the process as opposed to manipulate the viewer.
Big difference.
Yeah, big
Yeah.
difference.
So, Mark, if somebody wants to get a hold of you to have a chat, do they email you or you want to give your website location out for us?
It's complicated. The website is neurologica.com, but it's Neurologica with a Y. So it's like neurology, CA.
See it.
And I'm at Mark Fernandez at neurologica.com, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
Okay, and it's Mark with the C.
It's Mark with a C. Yeah. And I'll just, I just want to throw this out there in closing because we are an AI company. And I think it's important to say that if you think about AI was created to help humans, like for all of the fear and all of the concerns about what AI is going to do, it really exists to make our lives better, make our lives easier. And from our perspective, how is it really going to do that if it doesn't understand us as humans? And the thing that makes us humans is our emotions.
Correct.
And think it's a good thing. It's a good thing for AI to be able to understand your emotions because it's going to be able to help you better if it can. And yeah, I'll just leave it with that.
And at the end of the day, for the consumer, it'd be B2B or B2C, that's really what everybody's complaining about is I'm not getting the things that I'm interested in. Okay. And how do you parse through the noise? And it looks like you guys are achieving it. So
Yeah,
I
definitely
look
trying to play a role in that.
for great things from you all. I really appreciate your time, Mark. Thank you for
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Hi, I'm Paula Keoki, and thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, share it on social media, and don't forget to rate or review the podcast wherever you listen. Your feedback helps us grow and inspire others. If you're a successful business leader or marketing professional with insights to share, we'd love to feature you as a guest. Visit outwardmedia.com/podcast to learn more. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and connect with us on social media to join the conversation. Visit outwardmedia.com to explore how we can help take your strategic audience building to the next level. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.